tarry ye here and watch. And he went a little further, and he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank you for this opportunity of prayer. And Lord, I don't think any of us truly know exactly what we're doing all the time in prayer. But Lord, your disciples asked that you would teach them to pray. And Lord, I pray that you would teach us to pray. Father, we need you tonight. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us and help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of sleeping during prayer. Sleeping during the prayer. We just read the account of the disciples, how that Jesus had taken them to Gethsemane. And there he takes with them 11 of his 12 disciples, because we know that Judas is not with them because he has already conspired to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. So of those 11 disciples, he asks 8 of them just to sit here for a while, and then he takes Peter, James, and John a little farther into the garden, and he asks them to watch and pray, and then the Lord Jesus begins to pray. And the disciples, they didn't necessarily pass this test, but we do know that the Lord Jesus was giving them a message. Now, in this chapter, we have several things going on. First, we have Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, and there she takes a box of ointment, of spikenard ointment, and she breaks that ointment out of the box and anoints the feet of the Lord Jesus for his burial. And it was said that this precious ointment could have been sold for 300 pence. Now, a pence or a penny back in those days was a day's wage. So you have 365 days in a year, you subtract all your days off, so 300 pence, that would be about a year's salary. Now, I don't know what the average salary in the room is, but probably something like maybe $150 to maybe $300 a day would be the salary in the room. I don't know. Some less, some more. And Brother John Shipp makes a lot more than all of us, so be in prayer that he would share with us after the service tonight. But 300 pence, and it was very costly. Also in this chapter, we see that the disciples were told that one of them was going to betray him. That's all here in chapter number 14. And we know that to be Judas. We also know in this chapter that the Lord Jesus, he cautions his disciples and he tells them, he says, now, this is going to be the night where all of you are going to be offended of me. And it was in that chapter that Peter said, I will never deny you. I will go to the death. Now, I think it was last time that we talked about that, where the Apostle Peter, he was so discouraged after his denial of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I'm going to go back fishing. And we talked about how that fishing trip was not just to catch, you know, just little fish, but it was his livelihood. Now, myself, when I go fishing, I try to catch the big ones, okay? I'm always searching for the big ones, okay? And I always try to be truthful when I'm telling a fish story. And they say that a picture is worth 1,000 words, so you should always, you know, show proof there of the type of fish that you catch. But we see that Peter had to go through all of that. Okay, we're done with that. Oh, thank you. But just to show you, there's proof there. But he told the disciples, he said, you're gonna deny me. And they had a hard time with that. So then that's where it takes us to this passage of Scripture that we're looking at tonight, where the disciples, they kind of fail in this area of prayer. Don't answer the question, but do you know how to pray? Do you know how to pray? I was talking with someone just recently, and he said, you know, I really don't even know how to pray. And I looked at him, I said, you know, I'm still learning too. Because prayer is where it's at. And as a prayer person, we must apply ourselves to prayer. Look at verse number 34, if you would, please. He said, and he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. The first thing that I want you to notice tonight concerning this passage was that the disciples, they really did not understand the Lord Jesus, his concern of why he took them to the garden. They didn't understand the concern. They didn't understand why Jesus told them. Now, I just want you to, some of you just to sit here for a little bit, and he didn't even ask them to pray. He just said to wait here for a little bit. I want you to notice that he says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. They didn't understand his concern. They didn't understand that he bore an unbelievable burden. An unbelievable burden. Now, there are many speculations. There are several speculations of what Jesus was going through there in the Garden of Gethsemane. We read in other places where he sweat great drops of blood, and he was in such agony. And he was very burdened, and he tells them that. He says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Now we know that he was to go to the cross. We know that he was to shed his precious blood for the sins of all mankind. We know that that's why he came. But in that garden, he was showing them something. He showed them, he says, now I want you to sit and I want you to watch and I want you to see what's going on here. And he's sweating great drops of blood. And he asked them to even pray with him. Not all, but three he asked to pray with him. And his burden was just unbelievable. Now, let me ask you this. If someone that you know and someone that you love very much had a great burden and they asked you to pray for them, would you do it? Would you do it? You know, I dare say that all of us would say, yes, brother, yes, sister, I will pray for you. And depending on how it burdens our heart really determines how much we pray with them and for them. And so here the Lord Jesus Christ, he has an unbelievable burden and he is asking them to pray. And then we notice that he had a very unavoidable burden. He was headed to the cross. But some speculation here is that his hour was not that night, but his hour was to come after that on the cross, and the devil had come for him that night. Much like the devil had come for Abraham in Genesis chapter, I believe it's 15 and verse number 12, where it talks about Abraham was a very dark time. It's much like the time when the devil came for Job, and he approached God, and he said, the only reason that Job serves you is because you blessed him so. And we see that God gave Satan permission to oppress and to attack Job, and he said, but don't touch his body. And in all that, Job still, he sinned not with his lips. The devil comes the next time. He says, well, you know, you just won't let me touch him. He says, yeah, okay, you can go further. Just don't take his life. And we see that Job was faithful to the Lord, and the Lord still had a lot of work to do on Job. But he had an unavoidable burden, and so the devil had come for Jesus that night, but it wasn't his time. Now, if you back up earlier in the chapter, you'll see that Jesus told his disciples. He said, this night all will be offended of me. And you're going to deny me. And they said, no, we're not going to deny you. We will never deny you. And so I believe the Lord Jesus was showing them something. He takes them to the garden, and they get to witness, particularly these three, the Lord Jesus with great drops of blood, as it were sweat. And they had to see what he was, the burden that he was under. If there's ever a time that we need to pray for our loved ones, it's when they're burdened. It's when the burdens are heavy, when the burdens are long, when the burdens are unavoidable, we need to pray. Number one, they did not understand his concern. Number two, they did not obey his command. Look at verses number 32 and 33. It says, and they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I pray. All right, so eight of them, he said, I just want you to wait. I just want you to wait. Sometimes some of the hardest things that we deal with when we need to pray is when we have to just simply wait. Waiting is hard. But then in the next verse, he says, he taketh with him Peter and James and John and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. Once again, we're back to that burden that he had. He said, I want you three just to watch. I want you to watch with me in prayer. They were told why they were to watch in prayer. It's because his soul was being vexed and was being tried. They were told to be alert in prayer. Preacher was preaching one time, and he was preaching to the church, and he said to the dads, he said, dads, do you pray? He said, moms, do you pray? And there was a little boy sitting on the front row, and immediately he just said, no! You know? After the service, the parents walked out, and they said, you know, we were a little embarrassed, but we were also convicted. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. May I ask you tonight, do you pray? Do you pray? Do we pray? Do we pray and agonize in prayer like Jesus prayed and agonized in prayer? All right, so they didn't obey his command. All right, they also did not heed his caution. Look at verse number 37, if you would, please. It says, and he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? He said, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Now, let's go back to these disciples. When Jesus told them that they were going to deny him, they said, no, we won't deny you. I submit to you that they were sincere. I submit to you that they were honest in what they said. You see, all of this happened not because of their sincerity. All of this happened not because they were not concerned, but it happened because they just weren't really paying attention. Now, the Lord Jesus, he asked them a very simple thing. You know, it's really not very hard to pray, is it? But on the other hand, sometimes it's really hard to pray, isn't it? The Lord Jesus said, I want you to sit here and wait. It's really not that hard to wait, is it? But sometimes we're just so anxious that it's really very hard to wait, isn't it? And then he asked them, he said, well, could you watch with me for 1 hour? Now, the Lord Jesus, he didn't ask them to pray for 24 hours. He didn't ask them to pray all night. He asked for 1 hour. Now, I don't know about you, but 1 hour is hard praying. Don't raise your hand, but have you ever tried to pray for an hour? I've tried to pray for an hour. Have you ever tried to pray all night? I've tried to pray all night. And most times I've not been very successful with that. Because I find myself sleeping like the disciples slept. They were failures here. They were failures here, but they were warned. What were they warned about? Now, here's probably the most important thing concerning prayer, is when we're warned. He says, watch and pray Why? That ye enter not into temptation. You see, the problem that they had was not that they didn't have the desire. The problem that they had is that they really did not realize how weak their flesh was. Yes, our flesh is weak. I was reading a story, I don't know if it was one day this week or sometime just recently, about Lester Roloff, and he was talking about denying the flesh. And he said, well, sometimes I just deny myself something. He said, sometimes I'll deny myself a hot shower, you know, and take a cold. Now, those cold showers, they're tough. You know, I would find another way to deny myself that, okay? You know, but the flesh is really not as strong as we think it is. It's very weak. And so the only thing that we have is prayer. Prayer is so important to avoid temptation. Prayer is so important to conquer temptation, because when we are weak in prayer, no matter the temptation, the devil always gets a foothold. He gets a foothold. You know, the Bible says, give not place to the devil. You know what that means? It means don't give him a foothold. Don't get a foothold. It's kind of like you go up to the door, okay? And as long as that door is closed and as long as that door is locked, you're safe. But as the moment that you open that door and crack it just a little bit, the devil sticks his foot in there, and then you can't close it. Now, you may push with all your might, but no matter the temptation, that's why the Bible says, give not place. Don't even open the door, because you do not realize how weak you really are. Now, when you're in despair, yep, we're weak. When you're troubled, yep, we're weak. But when we are strong, like the disciples were strong that night, we're still weak. We're still weak. So they didn't heed his caution. They didn't care for his warning. Their hearts were right. Their hearts were right, but they didn't recognize how weak their flesh really was. I heard of the story of a World War I pilot who landed his plane in Arabia, and while he was on the ground, a big rat crawled into the plane. The pilot takes off, and he's airborne, and he's flying, and he doesn't realize the rat's in the plane until he's in the air, because he turns around, and this big rat is just gnawing on the wiring, and then he starts to fear because of the wiring and the rat. And so he realizes, he said, you know what? He said he had heard that rats can't live at a high altitude. So he nosed his plane up, and he goes higher and higher and higher and higher until it gets where it's a little difficult for him to breathe. And so then he comes back down to a regular altitude and then finally lands the plane. And there he finds out the rat is dead. And so it is when the rats of sin are killed because of a higher altitude of prayer. That's when we get victory in our lives, because victory comes through prayer. All right, so they didn't heed his caution. Number four, and here's the important one. They didn't respond to his correction. Look at verse number 39, if you would. It says, and again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh a third time and saith unto them, sleep on and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners. So here we are back in the garden again. The Lord Jesus tells Peter, James, and John, he said, I want you to watch right here. And he goes a little farther into the garden and he prays. He comes back and he finds them asleep. And he says to Peter, couldn't you watch 1 hour? And so he says, now pray that you enter not into temptation. So then he goes back into the garden again, and he prays again. And he comes back again, and he finds them asleep again. He goes back again, and he prays, and he comes back a third time, and they're asleep. And he says, well, just sleep on, because the hour is here, and the hour is here where the Son of Man is going to be betrayed. You see, the lesson that we have here is that when we do not respond the first time, And then even the second time, we get ourselves in trouble because of that temptation. Prayer is so necessary. You know, we need to take care of, I remember it was Curtis Hudson that I heard say it the first time, then I've heard others say it, but he said, keep short accounts with God. Just short accounts with God. When there's sin in your life, confess it right then. Keep a short account. Lord, I'm so sorry. There's the sorrow, but then there's the repentance that must follow that. Lord, my flesh is weak. And Lord, I want to serve you so much, but my flesh is weak. But Lord, forgive me. Keep short accounts with God. Because when they build up, that's when the devil gets his foot in the door. He's powerful. But he's not more powerful than the Lord, is he? And so the Lord warns us, give not place to the devil. So we need to keep short accounts with God. And when we're impressed of the Holy Spirit the first time, respond the first time. This lady, she was about to have a baby, and she rushes to the hospital, and she gets on the elevator, but it's too late. She had the baby right there on the elevator. Are you all awake tonight? On the elevator, she has the baby. And she's crying. She goes, oh, I couldn't even make it to the delivery room. And the attending nurse says, oh, it's okay, honey. It's okay. This happens. Why, 2 years ago, there was a lady. She didn't even make it in the building. She gave birth to her baby on the front lawn. She said, I know, that was me too. Let me give you about four or five comments, and then we'll go home. Number one, Jesus wants our fellowship. He wants our fellowship. He had a great burden. He shared it with his disciples. They didn't share the same burden, but he prayed. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 13, the Bible says, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. In John chapter 4 and verse 23 and 24, he says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh at such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. A question for all of us is, when we pray, knowing that he hears all things, do we pray for the Lord to serve us, or do we seek to serve him? Jesus wants our fellowship. Number two, what burdens Jesus should burden us? What burdens Jesus should burden us? Now, as far as I can tell, this instance in Scripture is the only time that the Lord Jesus asked his disciples to pray with him. He asked anybody to pray with him. And then, as far as I know, there's only really one prayer request that Jesus had in the Scripture, and that was, you know, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his field. So his prayer request is for laborers. His prayer, his request of the disciples was to pray for him and his burden. What burdens him should burden us. Number three, when we're troubled, we must pray. When we're troubled, we must pray. Now, when we're troubled, and the trouble is because of us, it's like we're afraid to pray. But that's when we need to pray the most. Number four, if we won't pray in the garden, we probably won't stand in the trial. Because remember, it's that prayer that helps us with the temptation. And then number five, what we are under pressure really is who we are. What we are under pressure really is who we are. No real great closing to the message, no real illustration of the message, but if I could ask us as a church, would you pray for me? Would you pray for our pastor? Would you pray for one another? And then would you pray for yourself? Someone asked Lee Robertson one time, he says, what do you pray for? What's one of the first things you pray for? He said, I always pray for myself. I always pray for myself. You see, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is always weak. And the best of men are at best men. Our Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that you will help us to go to a higher place of prayer than we were yesterday.